Welcome back to another episode of The Bisexual Agenda. I'm your host, Kit Scales. This week, I'm talking about queer books with one of my friends, Claire, who is an author who lives in Leeds, and I met her at Quilting Points, which is also where I met previous guest Carl. I just wanted to talk about gay books because honestly I just want to know more gay books to read. After I finished my degree I like just refused to read basically because I had to do so much academic reading for my course because I did art history. But then I got tonsillitis like a year or so ago and I had to just stay in my house for 2 weeks. And I ended up reading a book and then I was like, wow, I fucking love reading. And I read like 10 books in like 3 months or something. So yeah, I asked people on my Instagram what their favorite queer book was. My sister said you already know the answer because she's just shady as fuck. But her favorite is Maggie Nelson, The Argonauts. And she told me to read it for ages. And I didn't because I'm an idiot. And then I did and I was like, wow, this is my favorite book of all time. My friend Ella said Carol, as well as Tipping the Velvet, The Well of Loneliness, and Maurice. I feel like they're all quite classic. Autumn said I'll Give You the Sun. I don't know who that's by. And my friend Hannah said Blue Sullivan's Diaries, also Stone Butch Blues. I've been wanting to read that, but I'm also scared that it would be like really sad or triggering. And then Adrian said Nightwood. And Rosie said The Squashbuckler. And Esme said, I don't think I've ever read one, sad face, but then we were talking about it and we decided that Jacqueline Wilson is an honorary queer, essentially, because I agree, I think some of those books were pretty gay. And then my friend Eleanor said that her favorite queer book was Queer Intentions, which is a non-fiction book. I think it's like half memoir. So it's Queer Intentions, A Personal Journey Through LGBTQ+ Culture. And I bought that the other day at the Bookish Type bookstall. If you live in Leeds, you should follow the Bookish Type on Instagram and go to one of their pop-ups. If you follow them on Facebook, they tell you when their pop-ups are. They have them at Wolf Chambers and they have them at the market in Leeds and they've done one at the uni. And I'm a very loyal fan of theirs. So Clara's just a little sweet angel. I had to record this in two parts just because the first day we recorded, I was feeling so shit because I had like a panic attack in the middle of the night and I was feeling so rough. So for a lot of it, I just sound a bit scatterbrained, but please forgive me, guys. I'm trying my best out here and I hope you like this episode. Please follow the podcast Instagram. It's The Bisexual Agenda Pod. I actually received a dilemma the other day and it fucking made my life and I'm gonna answer it next week. So I'm gonna do a mini bonus episode next week because I'm gonna have a little break over Christmas of the podcast. So after this episode, I'll have a short bonus episode next week. If you have an idea for an episode and like a theme that you want me to cover, just message me on Instagram. I'm super open to different ideas. Thank you so much for listening to another episode and message me about your favorite queer books so I can add them to my list. I love it when I have the headphones on. I feel like I'm so professional.
Yeah, you look great.
But I also feel like a bug.
Yeah,
like a huge head.
It's cute.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted you to tell me about your books.
Yeah, I have had two books published. One is a novel called All the Good Things, 2017, and the other one is a book of very, very short stories called How the Light Gets In, came out 2018. All the Good Things is more of a kind of traditional story. It's a novel, has a main character, it's quite sad.
It is sad.
How the Light Gets In is a bit more experimental and playful. It has lots of different voices. Some of them are quite dark and sad, some of them aren't. At the point of writing both of them, I hadn't really engaged with my own queerness, so I don't think either of them are particularly queer. But somebody, so I went to Milan recently to launch the short stories in Italian, and this journalist who interviewed me about them she was really interested in the fact that a lot of the narrators in the short story don't have a clear gender or gender that's assigned, mm-hmm. that's specified. And she was asking me about that, and I realised I'd sort of just done it unconsciously, and maybe that was my queerness coming out, or maybe not, I don't know.
I think it is, because, like, I don't know. I think it's, like, quite queer to, like, not define the gender of a character when you're thinking of them. Or do you think that you had an idea of the gender, but you didn't make it clear?
I don't think I did. I think for me it's not necessarily that important, or I felt like I was interested in kind of people's emotional experiences and representing kind of the texture, what it's like to be in somebody's head. And I don't think that's necessarily consigned to like one gender or another, or people might be defined as, other people might define them as a man or a woman or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's the cool
but
thing
the experience
do.
In their head might not necessarily sit within that gender. So I guess,
well, then more people can relate to it, because they'll like assume that the person is like maybe the same gender as them.
Well, I guess, but it was funny because she seemed to say she found that troubling, that she wanted to know and there was no answer.
Oh, okay.
But, and I hadn't really, that wasn't something I'd intended, but I was just like, oh, maybe that was.
Oh my God, I had to like stop reading this like collection of short stories the other day because it was written by a guy, which I didn't realize because it was like a foreign name. So I was like, I assumed it was a woman because I only find books by women. And like, I started thinking, like, all these women are described in a really weird sexual way. But I was like, maybe it's just one and, like, I'm just being, like, overly weird about it. But there was one story where, like, a girl was in the rain and there was, like, a full, like, a page description of how her tits looked in the rain. And I was like, this is so ridiculous.
Oh, for God's sake.
So, yeah, I had to stop reading that because I was just,
that's like, so annoying.
No one's tits look like,
and no woman is thinking about what their tits look like in the rain, right?
But it's like, you don't actually get like a wet t-shirt tit situation when it's raining.
Like, that's hilarious. I feel like that should be a contender for the Bad Sex Award. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Oh yeah, is it like a Twitter?
It's an award. Somebody does it officially where they review all the books that have come out that year and like award it for the worst written sex scene in it. It's usually stuff by men that's stuff like that.
Yeah, because they don't understand anything.
No.
I was trying to remember like the first gay book I read, and I think it was Written on the Body by Jeanette Winterson. Have you read that?
No, haven't.
Have you read Orange is the Only Fruit?
I have read it.
I didn't like that one.
No, I think I read half of it, and I liked the story, but the kind of voice and rhythm that was very bumptious.
Bumptious?
Is that even a word? It was like, dip, 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 like a nursery rhyme. It just annoyed me so much. I couldn't get too far through it.
Yeah, I think it's just because I kept Googling, like, best gay books or something. And it was always saying Jeanette Winterson. And I've read, like, four of her books because I was like, oh, like, it must be good because it's gay. But I don't actually like any of them apart from Written on the Body. And that's, like, a breakup story.
Okay.
Lesbian drama. She's just broken up with someone and then she, like, dates a couple of other people, but it's, like, a big mess. And then she just, like, goes hermit and, like, lives in this rundown cottage in like a seaside town.
Relatable content.
Yeah, she's just like, this lesbian drama is too much, like I'm gonna go live in a hole. So I quite like that one.
I remember reading Girl Meets Boy by Ali Smith probably when I was about 22 or 21, which was a long time before I was out as bi, and I sort of knew it, but I hadn't really told anyone, and I remember just reading that book and thinking, oh, just loving it so much.
Yeah. I read that book, like, a year ago, and I really liked it. I felt it was, like, the perfect, like, femme butch.
I'd read a few of Ali Smith's other books, and quite liked them, and was kind of impressed by them, and Girl Meets Boy was less kind of, had less pyrotechnics, it wasn't as literary and fancy as, say, like, The Accidental, which got shortlisted for the Booker, and... Mm-hmm. But I just loved it. It was just so, like, the emotions were really raw, and it was this really direct kind of voice and tone that I liked. It was just like a nice, happy love story. It was a nice love story that was quite hopeful. queer love stories.
It does
read
quite like a like young adult novel.
It was quite.
I kind of hate that term because,
but
I'm
it is written a bit like that. But you know, there's nothing wrong with that per se.
Just that term.
I mean, I read it probably when I was about 21. So I guess
you were a young adult.
You never thought I was an adult. I think often, you know, queer books can be quite sort of tragic, and there's a whole thing about, you know, can you write it's okay to write a happy ending as a queer book, or like, how can you, or like, there's that whole sort of debate.
What?
Well, I think there's all the it's okay, but the opposite way, I think there's some queer writers felt sort of pressure to write something happy because there's a history of queer stories always sort of being sad and tragic and, you know, the Well of Loneliness, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked how it was quite light, Girl Meets Boy, but also engaged with some more difficult issues.
Mm-hmm. And it's really short.
And it was just short and joyful and beautiful.
It's awesome.
And,
right, I've just bought another one that's about, like, I think it's short stories. It's called, like, Free Love and Something.
Oh, that one's good. That's for Gay. I think that's her first book that she wrote.
Okay.
It's very, like, there's a lot of sort of coming out stories in there. Like, a woman who has sex with a sex worker in Amsterdam, mm-hmm. and sort of stories of teenage gay love. It's good.
Yay.
It's good.
Is Alex gay? Or just
yeah, she's gay.
Geisha.
She's gay.
Okay.
Yeah. She's definitely gay. How to Be Both by her is really good. It's in two halves, and different copies of the book have their halves in different orders. And half of it is a story of a transgender Renaissance poet. No, not poet, painter, sorry.
Iconic.
Which is really cool. And yeah, she brings her very kind of poetical language to that historical mm-hmm. period, so it makes it just quite fun.
Yeah.
And then the other half is a teenage girl who's grieving the loss of her mother, and that's really moving. And there's a bit of a gay, sort of a gay storyline in there as well. And it's kind of like how they relate to each other. And yeah, it's really beautiful.
That sounds cute. Yeah, basically I just go to the like queer bookstore like every time it has a pop-up and buy like, every book.
That's good. It's good to support the queer bookstore. I went to Gay's Word in London recently.
Oh my God.
I was in London, so I thought I need to go. But it's great. But the only sad thing is the lesbian section, just this sad, like two bookshelves at the back. And there's like five women all trying to look at it at the same time. And we've all read most of the books in there probably. And it's just a bit, it's a bit of a shame, that section.
Do they have a bisexual section?
No, I don't think they do.
I really want to go to Glasgow because there's a bookshop there called Categories Books.
Oh, I follow them on Instagram.
And it's run by,
same, it looks so
it's
cute.
Run by two wives. I'm literally like, I want that to be me. Like, where's my wife and my bookshop?
Do you want to set up a bookshop? I'll be your wife.
Really?
Set up a bookshop. Just do it.
Please. Yeah, like, if I win the Premium Bond Million, which is my life plan,
okay,
I'm going to open a gay bookshop.
I'm down.
And I'm going to sell my pottery there.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Although actually now, just as we were talking, I was thinking about, I remember reading a Judy Blume book.
Which ones are they?
And now, you're probably too young. Did you not have Judy? Did you not read
I've
Judy
definitely
Blume?
Heard of that.
She was like, so before YA was really a thing,
mm-hmm.
I guess you had stuff like Jacqueline Wilson for maybe slightly younger readers. And then for teenagers, you had Judy Blume. Teenage girls, you had Judy Blume.
Yeah.
She's an American author. I guess she wrote a lot in like the 80s and the 90s. Loads and loads of books about like preteen, teenage girls, young adults. Mm-hmm. But I guess she was writing a bit before like YA was really like a big thing as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So I read a lot of them when I was probably early teenager.
Mm-hmm.
There's one book, but I can't remember the title, but it's about a friendship between two girls as they grow up and then into adulthood. And I think they both end up being straight or being in relationships with men, but there's a bit where like they're kind of kids and they have this sort of really like lesbian moment where they like rub up and down on top of each other.
Ooh.
And they refer to it as like electricity.
They're like
about 10 or something, and it's kind of like and then it's kind of pushed to one side, but then they still have this really strong connection that kind of stays with them throughout their life. And there's this kind of queer angle. And I remember being kind of really like interested in that. And probably not really realising I was queer at the time, but just being really like struck by it.
Yeah, I wanted to say the thing about Jacqueline Wilson because I was like asking people on my Instagram what their favourite queer book was. And my friend Esme was like, I don't think I've ever read a queer book, but I feel like Jacqueline Wilson is gay. And you know the one where her friend dies and then her ghost like hangs out with her all the time? I feel like that's so lesbian. To be like, just hanging out with my ghost friend that I'm in love with. Like, I really felt like that was gay. I just feel like all the drama, it's very
it is
like
a lot of drama, and
it
is all like, even if it's not sexual, it's a lot of drama between women, right?
Yeah.
And all the girl, I remember reading the Girls Out series, like Girls Out Late, Girls in Tears, Girls Under Pressure.
Oh my god, I don't think I read those ones.
Because I think I'm a bit older than you. So for like the books that came out when I was at the right age.
What's it called? Like Vicky something? Vicky Angel.
Oh my god, yeah. My memory is like...
I read that one and I read the illustrated mum one, which when I think about it is so depressing. It's really, it's like sad, fully about domestic violence. Like, it's dark. Yeah, I definitely didn't read the girls out ones, but that sounds even more...
Those ones were all about like... It was like really intense friendship dramas between three teenage girls. A lot about their kind of relationship with guys. Mm-hmm. Like, there was never anything romantic between them, ostensibly. But I don't know. I guess there's something about the intensity of female friendships when you're a teenager that I guess something kind of queer in there. But even if it's never acknowledged. It's often disavowed, I think, and never spoken of. And
she has a book called Girls in Love.
Yeah, I read that. I mean, unfortunately, they're not in love with each other. I'm sure there's some good queer fan fiction of that book out there somewhere.
She has one called Sleepovers that is just loads of girls in a bed. Like,
well,
Dustbin Baby, fuck, that one's so sad.
Oh my god. I'm sure there's a niche of queer Jacqueline Wilson fan fiction on the internet. And if there's not, I propose that you start it, okay?
I think I just made everything gay. I, like, can't remember anything about it. Clean Break? Shit, I read, like, so many of these.
I didn't even read a lot of stuff.
The Cat Mummy?
The Cat Mom.
Midnight. Oh, that one's really scary. Did you read that one?
No.
It's, like, she has, like, a baby sister that gets swapped for a changeling and it's, like, a demon.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, Jacqueline Wilson was, like, coming up with some fuck shit.
Maybe you should get Jacqueline Wilson on the podcast.
That'd be great. Oh yeah, what's the last book that you read?
I'm actually halfway through several books at the moment. One of which is this book called In Transit by Brigid Brophy, who is a forgotten experimental writer from I think the 60s.
That's cool.
And I'm very bad at reading books from previous eras, but I came across an issue of an academic journal that was devoted to her and sort of recovering her.
Mm.
And it was this specific book came up a lot as a sort of early kind of gender fluid trans book. And I was just interested in it from a writerly perspective and from a queer perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's even in print in the... I ordered it off Amazon, it took ages. it's interesting. Like, it's definitely quite dated in some ways. And I find some of the formal techniques... a little irritating, but it is really interesting. It's like this character who is stuck in an airport lounge and they don't go on their flight and they don't know where to go and they've forgotten what their sex or gender is and they keep trying to work out what it is from looking at their body, from looking at how other people respond to them, from their clothes, and it keeps on changing. And it's just very... And at one point they go into a lesbian underworld. They climb onto the luggage carousel and then they go into this like lesbian underworld. It's just quite wild.
It takes so long for the suitcase to come out.
That's why. There's a lesbian underworld in there now, you know. So it's quite wild. Like, you don't really know what's going on a lot of the time. It's very surreal and bizarre. But I'm quite enjoying that. It's quite interesting. It's just quite different.
Mm-hmm.
Another book...
Intriguing.
I read quite recently that I enjoyed, the queer book, also quite surreal. It's called Virtuoso by Yelena Moscovich. It came out quite recently, yeah.
I've heard of it.
So she's originally from the Ukraine and then moved to America and now lives in Paris. And the novel like moves between those three locations.
That's cool.
And it's very surrealistic and it kind of, I feel like it has a very kind of queer temporality. So it goes back and forward in time, but you don't necessarily know, when you're reading an event in the book, you don't know if it's actually happened before or after an event you've just read about.
Ooh.
So the time is all messed up in that way. And then it's about all these different relationships between different women as teenagers, as adults. It's all very gay, it's all very queer. And it's good. It's quite like, and then it involves this mattress called a virtuoso. And they kind of, all these disparate characters that like vaguely link, and it's quite mysterious and surrealistic. It's a bit like David Lynch vibe. Imagine lesbian David Lynch in a book.
I wouldn't be able to understand. I only read like late at night, so if a book is like confusing to understand, I'm just like, I can't. Like, I read Nightwood because it's like Adrian's favorite book. Adrian's just so fucking smart. It's like, she needs to realize that no one is on her level. She's like talking as if everyone else is on this like plane of like intellectuality.
I'm very lazy when it comes to reading like old books. If they're written in a nine-star style, I just always find it boring because they'll spend ages describing like characters like what their granddad did and what their great uncle did, and I just like, I don't care.
They're always describing rooms in a house, and then you're never in that house
and
again.
And then you're just like, I don't really care anyway.
Yeah, no.
Okay, well, if you want an easy to understand queer book,
yeah, I'm a
really,
dumbass.
That's really fun. Women by Chloe Caldwell.
Yeah,
it's really good. It's just a story of a woman who suddenly realizes she's bisexual and has this really wild affair with a lesbian and kind of discovers her queer sexuality. It's a novella, I think, technically, so quite short. It's a very quick read, but
that's what I want. Yeah,
it's really, I enjoyed it. It's good. It's funny.
I don't like a book that you have to like, you know, when you like read a bit and you're like trying to work out like, oh well, is that person, and then blah, blah, blah.
No, it has like a first person narrator. It's very punchy. You feel like someone's just talking to you. It's
nice.
You feel like a friend's telling you like a juicy bit of gossip.
Ooh,
it's nice.
I want the juicy goss.
Also another book by my friend Rowan Hisayo Buchanan called Starling Days, which also came out quite recently. Mm-hmm. And it's about a bisexual woman protagonist, and she's sort of in a long-term relationship with a guy and then kind of goes through a bit of quite a bad mental health crisis and navigates that at the same time as kind of navigating her bisexuality and sort of being in a relationship with this man but also having something with a woman. And that's good as well. I felt like it was done in a sensitive way, and it's, you know, explores some quite difficult mental health issues at the same time. It's quite a sad book.
That's okay, I can deal with like
really, really beautifully written, and it felt like it's quite generous, like it flips between the guy and the woman's perspective. Mm. And you feel like the author's really trying to give them both a chance.
Bisexual angst.
Yeah, bisexual angst. That's what I'm looking for. All about that.
Yeah, I realised like all the books I was mentioning were just all about dyke drama. I'm like, someone has a horrible breakup and then there's all this dyke drama. I'm like, wow, I wonder why I'm drawn to that. I don't want any more dyke drama, but I love to read about it, apparently.
It's fine if it's somebody else's. Well, yeah. I feel like it's always fun reading about other people's drama, and then when drama happens to you, you're like, no, no.
You're like, what did I do to deserve this?
Yeah. But then I guess if no one ever had any drama, there'd be no stories to read about.
There'd be no dyke drama, yeah. Shit. What was the other one that you were going to say? I can't remember. The other one?
Girl, Woman, Other by Bernardine Evaristo. Mm-hmm. That is a brilliant book. I encourage everyone to read it. One of the best books I've read all year.
Sure.
And it jointly won the Booker Prize with Margaret Atwood's The Testaments, which I've not read, but I still think Bernardine should have won it overall. it has maybe something like 12 different women narrators, mostly Black British women.
Mm-hmm.
There's a non-binary narrator. There's a trans woman, different ages, different class and ethnic backgrounds, mm-hmm. sort of moving back and forth between the present day and kind of early 20th century. So I feel like it's one of those, it's a big picture novel, you know, it kind of gives this picture of the UK, but through all these experiences of these women of colour, mm-hmm. who often you don't really see in literature, especially not in this way. Mm-hmm. And it's written in verse. So it's like a verse novel, but don't that like people?
I don't know what that means.
So it's written in like, it's like poetry. So it's not prose. It's quite like, it's written in verse, not like, it's not kind of, if you look at it on the page, it's got loads of spaces and gaps like a poem.
Okay.
It's written like a poem.
But does it make sense?
I actually think it's much easier to follow than say very dense prose with a lot of dense description, because it means it just flows really easily and it's got this nice fast, pacey element to it. And I feel what I really like about it is that like has all these different characters who are like loads of different kind of political persuasions. Some of them are queer, some of them are straight, some of them are polyamorous, some of them have been with their husband since they were really young, some have children, some don't. You know, sort of she gets inside
nice
loads of different people's heads and sort of gives them all space and gives them a sense of dignity, even though they all kind of disagree with each other and a lot of them judge each other. But kind of just, I feel like she just gives space for all these different people's experience. She's very like generous with that.
That's cool.
And it kind of tackles quite a lot of like difficult issues and experiences, mm-hmm. but always has this quite like ultimately quite like light and kind of, I don't mean that in a bad way, like light and comic tone, that kind of like a levity to it that sort of has this kind of hopefulness and energy that I feel like at this moment in time politically
it's
so nice to read, because you're like, oh, you know, I feel like you get a sense of Evarista just being kind of a wise person and having like lived and like some knowledge of maybe some of these experiences. I don't know, but I don't know, I just felt like it came from a place of hope and knowledge and kind of empathy and understanding, and it left me with a feeling of hope and like a way of writing that can show different people's experiences in quite a generous way, which I feel like is quite rare. Like often a lot of novels just focus on one thing very narrowly and they make you empathise with that and see the importance of that, but it's hard to kind of get a big picture whilst also retaining something specific.
Yeah, and actually being like...
And sort of trying to be radical, sort of radicality within that. Wow. So yeah, I love that book. It was great. And it had lots of fun kind of dyke and other romantic dramas. but kind of takes the piss out of a lot. Basically, all of the characters slightly get taken the piss out of in a way, in like a gentle way. Yes. You're like, okay. Like this one who like is like a polyamorous lesbian, like radical theatre maker. And like she's really and then like she's got one friend who's like super straight and straight laced and is really like disdainful of like all her lesbian friends, and then her lesbian friends are really disdainful of the straight boyfriend, and it's just quite funny. It's good fun.
Yeah, I think that's why I like the After Dolores one, because it was like very dyke drama, but like in that way where it was like stereotypical, but in like an in joke kind of way.
Okay.
Like so, her girlfriend leaves her for this girl who works. She's like an editorial person at like this bougie arts magazine and like gets her loads of free fancy clothes, and this girl like works in a diner and she's like, I'm trash. But it's just so funny because she like, it's like kind of ran like a diary-ish, because sometimes it just goes into like her thoughts about her ex, and it's so funny because like right the last words of the book are just like, I miss Dolores. It's like the whole book she's been like, I want to fucking kill her. It's just big dyke drama.
Dolores, it's a good name.
I don't know how to say it.
I don't know, I feel like it's a hard drama in the name itself, you know.
Yeah, it has a lot of syllables.
Yeah,
and it looks like it shouldn't. But yeah, it's a really cool book. I liked it. It's great. It's like a book that I'd like to see a film of. I think I just really visually picture every book I read, and then I just want to see a film of it. Is that weird? Do you like fully picture it when you're reading a book?
Not necessarily in a way of a film, but I quite like the kind of shadowy halfway that you imagine things in a book. Or
I feel like I fully visualize it.
That's cool. I don't know, actually.
Like, when I read your book, I would be, like, imagining the, like, cinema that I used to go to. And then I had, like, a full picture of, like, her flat and, like, where she lived and what she looked like. Even though I don't think you can describe what she looked like.
Yeah, but that's what I like about books. Like, you leave all these holes that the reader can project their imagination into. If you describe too much, then you don't leave space for people to do that, right? And that's why sometimes it's disappointing when you see the film, because you're like, oh,
I know.
In my head, the flat didn't look like that, or she didn't look like that.
Yeah. It's so hard to get it right when you're like trying to visualize something. Yeah, I really liked your book, but it really made me sad. But I think about it like quite a lot.
Aww.
Like, I think about the girl, because you feel so bad for her. But like, I like the way it ended, because I feel like you can kind of see where it's going. Because, you know, you're saying all the stuff about how hope is, like, important in books and stuff. Because I remember when I read all the reviews on the back of your book, they were all saying it was really hopeful, and I was reading it being like, it's so sad. And then at the end, I was like, no, I guess it kind of is, because you feel like she's, like, unlearning all the, like, horrible things that she thinks about herself, and you're like, oh, like, at some point she's not going to blame herself for all of this stuff that's happened.
Yeah, hopefully. And I guess I think... It sounds cheesy, but I think often you have to like confront the darkness in order to find like genuine hope, not just like tacky hope, fake hope, you know.
Oh yeah, like all this like mindfulness bullshit. Instagram
you
can choose to be happy anytime you like.
Yeah, it's
really, it's been 25 years and I've been trying, you know. Yeah, I agree, and I really like the therapist in the function of the therapist in the book, because I feel like it could have been very like, so how are you feeling today?
Yeah,
I really like the way that it works, because she's like doing her therapy homework basically, isn't she?
Yeah, it's basically.
I like it, but oh, it did make you. Me sad.
Yeah,
did it make you sad to write it? Like, why? What possessed you to write such a sad book?
I don't know. Ask my therapist. I don't know. Just story just took a hold of me. I did feel sad by some of it. Mm. Yeah, I don't think my next book will be quite as sad.
Are you going to do a happy book?
I'll try to. But I feel like everything I write always ends up a bit sad, even if I don't think it is, you know?
I think a lot of books are sad. A lot of books are so fucked up as well. Because, like, that Bad Behaviour book, like, every single story is so fucked.
That's
all some of them I had to skip because I'd get in and I'd be like, this has such a horrible vibe.
Her books are fucked.
I know, and, like, have you seen the film Secretary?
No.
Okay.
Is that based...
Yeah, one of the there's one in here called Secretary, and it's based. That's the screenplay is based on this, but like the short story is like so fucked and like dark and like it's just horrible. But the film they've like romanticized it and it's like all very sexy, and I'm like, why do they take this horrible dark story and they were like, oh, let's make it fun, because that's why I thought that book was gonna be like fun and sexy, but it's really not.
Yeah, I don't know. I do quite like Mary Gate School. You just kind of got getting bored with the, like, darkness and coldness.
You just got to accept that everyone she writes about is, like, depressed, a drug addict, and has, like, a really tormented sex life.
Yeah. There's another novel of hers I read called Two Girls, Fat and Thin.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like... It kind of has a slightly queer dynamic to it, but it's all so fucked. You're like, I don't even know what to call that. It's just like...
Yeah, I feel that's like she has a lot of dark stuff going on in her mind. I wouldn't want to be her.
No. I feel like she's okay with it, though. I don't think it, like, bothers her. No. We're just fine.
She's just traumatizing everyone that reads her novels. First one on my list is The Price of Salt by Patricia Highsmith.
I've seen the film. I know that's...
Do you like the film?
Yeah, I really like the film.
It's like a Christmas film to me.
Yeah, it's very Christmassy and wintery and everyone and everything's very beautiful in it and it's...
I love Kate Blanchett, but yeah, I didn't really like the film as much as the book because in the book it's like way more like lesbian angst and it's way more like dramatic. It's more like a crime novel.
Okay, well, I guess she is a crime writer. She was a crime writer, so that makes sense.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She's mainly known as a crime writer. But I mean, I'm saying this as if I've read loads of books, but I actually haven't. I'm quite good at sounding like I've read stuff and I haven't. Yeah, I suppose they sort of Hollywoodified it or made it a bit sort of easier and, well, the romantic aspect.
Mm-hmm. But also in the book, she's like a set creator for plays. She's not a photographer. So I think they just add the photographer thing in so they could get, like, loads of sexy pictures of Kate Blanchett.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Okay, do you want to say another one from your list?
Yeah. The Argonauts by Maggie Nelson. Yeah, I just loved it. It was such a... I really liked the way she integrated theory with autobiography, basically, in a way that didn't seem pretentious, and that sounds super pretentious.
I know.
She does it in such a natural way. She's such a skilled sort of writer. She makes it seem effortless.
I know. The whole time I was reading that book, I was like, what the fuck? I wish I could do that. I was like, how is she putting all this stuff in that, like, could be, like, obvious and annoying and, like, wanky, but it's, like, really not. It's, like, perfect. Mm. And when she says it, you're like, oh, my God, that's so clever.
And it's just very... I thought it's truly queer in the sense of it's kind of... exploring the queerness of kind of all aspects of life and sort of the way she compares the physical transformation she undergoes when she's pregnant with her partner's gender reassignment surgery and journey, which they're kind of undergoing at a similar time, I think, in the book. Yeah. And so you're like, oh yeah, but like pregnancy is weird and queer. It's always seen as this heteronormative thing and she gets shit for like being pregnant. But actually... you think about it, it's really queer and weird that you're growing a person inside you, which personally I've always had a strange fascination, fear, fixation with.
I would like love to be pregnant and I'd like to have a baby, but giving birth is like my actual worst fear. Like I have really bad medical phobia. It'd be so scary, but I also think pregnant women look so cool.
Yeah,
like I really like a pregnant woman wearing a stripy top, so the belly is like that's my favorite thing.
Yeah, there's something quite magnificent and majestic about it.
It's just, like, so iconic. It's like you're actually growing a human. And they're just, like, going to Sainsbury's as well. It's like, whoa, I can't even, like, leave my house if I have my period. And they're, like, they're making a human person.
It's true. It's amazing. Pregnant women.
What?
We salute you.
I love it.
Pregnant people.
I love it. Yeah, I thought it was so interesting. Also, my sister recommended it to me, like, for 3 years before I actually read it. And, like, I read the first page and I was like, oh, shit, I should have read this, like, 5 years ago. Because it's so good. It's, like, and it just opens with, like, this, like, really hardcore paragraph and you're like, fuck. Like, it's oh, pretty, my God. Like,
in, straight in there with the sex scene, I think, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, also, she's really hot.
Yeah. I think they write about sex in a pretty hot way, I think, which is hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the way she, I like the way she writes about desire and relationships and sort of makes it seem really strange and really natural at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really cute. It was, like, a really nice thing about, like, queer family as well, because yeah. Her partner, like, has a son
yeah.
already. Oh, and, yeah, I just thought it was super wholesome.
Yeah, yeah, it was great.
I want to read her other stuff, but I think her other stuff is, like, more scary.
It's really good though. I read Bluets.
Oh yeah, I haven't read
it's
that.
Not scary.
That's not scary.
That's about her obsession / love affair with the color blue.
Nice.
And it's similar kind of style to the Argonauts, but again it's probably not as queer, but it's still a lot, you know, just the way she writes about desire and obsession is just so intriguing and ooh. Pain and other people's pain, and it's just very, it's very poetic and beautiful. And then the red parts I read very recently, and that's, I mean, you might find that scary.
Yeah, my sister's read that, and she's read the one about her aunt that got murdered.
That's also about her aunt that got murdered.
Which I know.
It's quite horrific, but I find it quite fascinating.
I, like, can't even watch a movie that's rated 12.
Okay, so. Yeah, maybe not for you then.
It annoys me, because, like, even books freak me out. Because, like, I always buy books 5 pages in, and I'm like,
don't ever read The Little Life. I mean, it's pretty queer, but don't read it.
Yeah. I wish, like, I recently read a book that had, like, trigger warnings at the front.
Oh.
And I was like, every book should have trigger warnings.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good idea, I think. Yeah.
Everyone do that.
Publishers, take note. Like,
you should put some in your book. But then it would also ruin it.
Yeah, that's, yeah, spoiler alert, you know, trigger warning, spoiler alert. Where do you draw the line?
I was thinking that a good way to do it would be, like, if they made the corner of the page a colour.
Oh.
So then you could see when it was, like, coming.
It's a good idea. You should tell the people, the book people.
I don't know who the people to tell are, but I'll try. Oh yeah, so let's talk about Paul Takes the Form of a Mortal Girl. Even though you haven't read it, you should read
I've read
it.
Lots about it, and I really, really, really want to read it, because it sounds awesome.
I'll lend it to you when you leave. It's so good. I imagine it, like, in 3 parts, because the first part is basically, like, all fucking. And then the middle part is, like, lesbian angst, and okay. Then the end is, like, magical, everything comes together.
Sounds great.
I think it's cool, and I think it's, like, a cool way to write gender queer character, because it's just, like, completely magical.
Yeah.
And it's, like, really interesting, because there's, like, a lot of, like, realistic stuff in it, and it, like, has a lot of stuff about, like, the AIDS crisis in the 80s, so it's, like, dark, but overall it's, like, really enjoyable, because it's, like, a fairy tale, and it has these, like, weird fairy tale snippets in it where you're like, is that even relevant? But it's, like, really nice.
I like it when the sort of queerness isn't just the theme, but also, like, infects it spreads into the form of the book. Mm-hmm. I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are my favorite kind of queer books.
I think it would make a really good film, but it'd be really hard to make as well.
Oh yeah, that could go wrong
quite badly. Could be, like, really transphobic. Yeah, probably. Roxane Gay, Difficult Women.
Oh, yeah.
You said you read it, but you forgot.
Give me some... What's the word? I want to say tasters, but that's not the right word.
It's, like, collection climbers. Of short stories that are all about women and, like, fucked up shit happening to them. And it's, like, got magical elements. Like, there's a really short one where this woman, like, everywhere she goes, like, the house gets full of damp.
Oh, yeah.
And it's only, like, 3 pages long, but I was like, ooh. Like, all of them give me, like, the shiver. But the first... Don't read the first one. The first story, like, fucked me up.
Yeah, I remember really liking some of the stories and others not so much. I remember feeling like it was kind of an uneven collection. Like, I feel like...
I think it maybe had too many. But there's a really good one about, like, a sex worker who gets like stalked by one of her clients.
Oh wait, I remember that one. Is that, does he have a race fetish mm-hmm. with her?
It's really fucked.
And it's really weird. Yeah. The most of that them one, are quite like, creepy and scary.
Yeah. But in like a not gory way.
No, in a way of like, yeah, these women are labelled difficult women, but, you know, look, because of the shit men do to them, I guess. Did you read Her Body and Other Parties?
I'm too scared to read it.
You might find it a bit scared. It's scary. I love that, though. I thought that was one of my favourite short story collections.
I think I might try to read it. I've, like, told other people to read it, but I haven't read it.
Some of them are, well, you know, some of them are a bit scary. But I think it's got really interesting explorations of sexuality and relationships. And
it's probably really good.
It's quite a lot of sexual violence. There is sexual violence and violence in there. Some of them are quite dark, but it's good. And the way she kind of uses slight magic realism, I think she does it in a good way, I think, in a distinctive way.
She's writing like a memoir.
Oh, so she's written a memoir about domestic abuse in a lesbian relationship.
Yeah. I really want to read it, but I think it would also like fuck me up.
I saw a tweet from her today actually where she said something like, oh, I wish I could say that writing this has been really helpful, but actually it's brought me a lot of trouble and I don't know, you know, I feel a bit odd about the fact that it's been published now.
Yeah, sure.
But I thought her stories were really, well, there was a lot of darkness in there, but they were also really beautiful and really just inventive. Like there's one where all the girls in a particular town start kind of going see-through.
That's scary.
And there's these people who work in a prom dress shop and all the women are sort of disappearing. And there's a few other sort of weird dystopia ones.
I think I quite really like dark shit.
I don't mind.
I like it a little bit, but I also like, if something really scares me, I like never forget it. I recently read Queer Sex by Juno Roche. Have you read that?
No.
I'll lend that to you as well.
Yeah.
It's like, I kind of bought it without looking at what it was because I was just like, oh yeah, I love sex. But it's like written by this trans woman who basically like after she had her surgery, she like was really scared about having sex. Mm-hmm. And then she interviews loads of other trans people about their relationship to sex and their bodies. But it's like done in a really like intimate and personal way, because I thought it might be like a bit more academic. You know, sometimes like interviews with people about sex and their bodies, they always ask the same questions. And then it means that people always give kind of like similar answers. Mm-hmm. And it just is a bit clinical and weird.
Yeah.
Especially like if it's for academic study, I feel like people won't necessarily like actually say what they mean.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, well, people are going to analyze what I'm saying. But in this, it's just like she has conversations with people and writes everything down. But she's really open with them about the fact that she's like hasn't kissed anyone for like years and she's like really scared. And she's literally like, how can I be intimate again? She's like actually asking them. And it's like the most beautiful book. And like every interview starts with her like talking about like her journey to like meet them and like how she knows them. And then afterwards she's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna like take this on board, like this really helped me. And it's like, it's so beautiful. And I just think it's really interesting because there's not many books that are about trans people and sexuality.
Yeah,
and I think like reading it as a cis person, it was really insightful anyway about sexuality, because a lot of people have difficult relationships to their body.
Yeah.
And it was just, I really liked it.
That sounds great. Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah,
I just think it's really nice when someone like is really vulnerable in the work.
Yeah, that's, and I guess that's, yeah, it's great and it's hard to do, but yeah. I guess what everyone probably has some kind of issues with intimacy, right? To some degree.
I have, so like, I guess, a million.
Yeah, like, everyone does, regardless of, you know, whether they're having sex with lots of people or not. So I guess there's something kind of universal in that at the same time as exploring something very specific that probably isn't explored or as full, especially, I guess, a lot of the public conversation around transness focus on gender identity rather than sexuality and people actually having sex, and that's
and it was interesting to have a book that's very sex positive but is written by someone who's not having sex.
It's
like sex positivity that isn't just like, oh, do whatever you want because it's like fun to have sex. It's like, no, sometimes having sex is like really scary and like a lot.
I'm sure that probably speak to a lot of people.
I love it. I want everyone to read it.
It's very interesting. I've also got Another Country by James Baldwin. Have you read that?
No.
It's like my favourite book of all time.
Why?
Because it's one of those books where as the story continues, you find out that all the characters are like interlinked and all know each other, but not in like that really annoying way where you're like, oh, fucking everyone knows each other.
Is it just like a large, like, you know, queer circle where everyone's actually slept with each other?
Yes.
At one stage or another.
You like find out that these two people are having an affair and you're like, oh my God, because their stories haven't overlapped at all. It's set in New York. I really like it.
Yeah. Sounds fun.
I also really liked Giovanni's Room. Have you read that?
No.
That's also by him and it's really short.
Okay.
I read it when I was like 18 and I haven't read it since, but it's basically like claustrophobic gay novel where these two guys are like staying in this guy's one room and they're like obviously in love, but nothing ever happens. It's just like one of those like everything is a metaphor, like the room is like oppression. But it's really good. I just love James Baldwin. I think he's like genius.
I'm ashamed to say I've never read any of him. I've actually not read a lot of the classics, to my shame, but okay. I'll go away from here with a lot of big things to read.
If I really like a book, I like to like leave it for a bit and then read it again.
Yeah, no, I definitely stole this metaphor from someone, but I feel like it's like re-entering house again and again when you reread something. You get to know it more and more and you have to, I think when you've read it once and you know the story, then you can slow down the second time and really appreciate the sentences and the details and notice patterns you didn't notice before.
I love that.
That's nice. You can like see how it's built, kind of why it's built that way. Like, oh, that's why he described the orange peel for ages. Because it's really crucial. It's just,
yeah,
it could be more subtle, I think. And, well, I think it's not true for all books, but I guess some books the writers might trust the readers a bit more, which credit them with a bit more intelligence.
Not
all books. Some books definitely not, and it's red flags everywhere. Like,
Yeah, I think that's why I liked Another Country so much. Like, I didn't realise it was going to be one of those books where, like, everyone turns out to know each other and has some kind of relationship. So I was like, oh, that is clever. Whereas that happens in so many books and you're like, that's not clever at all.
Feels really contrived.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Because, you know, sometimes they, like, put characters together that actually make no sense. And it's like, not everyone in the story has to be involved with someone else. Like, they don't make any sense. I don't know why you're doing this. I also wanted to say about the Bible, which I mentioned at the start, not the actual Bible, like, it's this collection of, like, bisexual essays called the Bible.
I'm sure there's loads of gay stuff in the Bible if you read it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've got, like, volume 2, so I want to get...
Volume 1.
Yeah, the Bible.
The Bible.
It's really sweet. It's just loads of personal essays by bisexual people, and they're all really different, but they're really sweet.
That sounds good.
That's really nice. I really love it. I'll lend it to you. I'll lend you all my books.
Oh my God, thank you. I'll have to lend you some. Well, I've got some queer books I can lend you. Let's or some non-queer books.
Just no, only
gay books.
I just, as long as it's not wholly about a man, I don't mind.
Yeah, that's my, it's quite rare that I read a book by a man, like a cis man, but then I've read some and been like, oh, actually, I quite enjoy that.
Yeah.
The book of Call Me By Your Name is really good.
I haven't read it, but only because, like, I think it's fucked up about the age gap. I just, like, don't want to read
it's
it because I
big
think
of
it's
an
fucked.
Age gap. It's like...
Isn't he, like, friends with his parents?
Yeah, but he's, like, in his 20s. He's, like, the younger one's, like, 18 and the old one's, like, 25 or something.
I think it's fucked.
It's not like that. That.
Really? I think it's
not
fucked.
Like he's 50 or something.
I just, like, the whole thing weirded me out. And it weirds me out that everyone fancies that, like, 12-year-old boy.
I know.
Like, he literally looks 12. Everyone fancies him and I find it, like, completely unhinged. Like, how old actually is he?
I mean, he's... I don't know. Can you get that? He's definitely, like, over 20.
Yeah, but, like, he looks 12. It just really weirds me out.
I think it's funny that a lot of straight women fancy him because I think, actually, he looks kind of like a girl.
Yeah, he really does.
Maybe it's... I don't know, subliminated queer desire.
Oh, he's 23. Oh my God, he's like old. He just looks like a child. Okay. Maybe it's not so disturbing as I think it is. Maybe I should watch it.
You should watch it's
fucked up. I think it's just whenever everyone says something's really good, I'm like,
well, I mean, you can watch it and then if you hate it, you can be like, okay, I hate it.
Then I can be informed.
Also, it's just watching a lot of beautiful people swan around a villa in Italy and... in the summer and go swimming in lakes and do sexy things with peaches. It's just quite fun. Ooh. It's quite visually attractive to watch, the film. And the book has this amazing tension and kind of longing.
Isn't it like feeling of tension from his side?
Yeah, it's like just so much longing and tension, and it's kind of you've got this really bittersweet, intense quality. It makes it really compelling to read.
Right, so I'm doing a tarot. This is when it gets like really bad AMSR or whatever it's called, because it's just like a clunking in the background.
By the way, the tarot cards are like millennial pink. They're really cool.
They're really nice.
And they're not all the illustrations same, on them.
They're not all the same shade either, which I think is very nice. Let's just do a past, present, future. I feel like that's...
Just the past, the present, and the future.
Just no chill. Yeah, just like time.
All of time. It's fine. Yeah.
So thick to pick out. So you just pick three and like just turn them over one at a time. Okay, so you've got the Nine of Wands, the Ace of Cups, and the Fool. Okay, your past. What attitudes, feelings, or beliefs in past events have shaped your current situation? Resilience, pushing forward, and last stretch. You're close to achieving a victory after a time of battle and hard work. You've spent time pursuing what you believe to be right, although this was difficult and draining. You're reaching a point of exhaustion, but there is only a small way to go before your ultimate goal. Does that...
that's too... Well, I hope that's true. That would be nice if that was true. That feels quite correct, I mean.
Okay. Yeah. The present. What forces are at work right now? What events are influencing your situation? Ace of Cups. New love.
Oh.
Overflowing feelings and creativity. As with other Ace cards, the Ace of Cups symbolizes new beginnings. It is the start of a feeling of emotional fulfillment and represents the joy of giving and getting in return.
Ooh. Mm. That sounds fun.
That sounds great. Okay, your future. What kind of outcomes could possibly happen? What is your reaction to this card and what are your unconscious expectations? The Fool. Innocence. New beginnings. Free spirit. The Major Arcana tells us the story of an individual's path towards completion. So, like, all the ones that aren't, like, from the suits are, like, the Major Arcana. Being the first card, the Fool, therefore, is a blank slate, a representation of purity and innocence of a child that knows nothing of the world. New journeys are signaled here, and the Fool is full of exuberance and energy. He does not know the dangers that beset him during his travels, and thus he stumbles forward with complete optimism, never suspecting that he may be walking on a thin tightrope.
Da, da, da.
I get that one all the time. It's basically like, bitch, having fun, but like, be realistic. That was a nice one.
That sounds pretty good.
You've got new love, and you're finishing a project.
Thanks. Thank you. Sorted out my time. Forever.
Your future is now solved. It's no longer a mystery. Okay, so I forgot to ask you to prepare your bisexual agenda because I'm a terrible podcaster. So you're just going to make one up.
Okay. on the agenda today.
I know, I really wanted to find, like, you know, like the intro to like Newsnight. I really wanted that to be like good. My theme tune, but like I couldn't find it.
Are you saying my singing's not good enough?
<Intro. laughs>
Well, okay, so on the agenda.
Yeah.
We have an extra bank holiday for all queer people.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to also be taxes for straight people, which will go towards funding queer spaces in every neighborhood.
I just think like straight people love like RuPaul's Drag Race so much.
Yeah,
and like
they benefit
they love
from
obligation.
It a lot, so
like, they should pay to like witness how amazing queer people are.
Yeah, it makes their life a little less boring, right?
Yeah, like they see all our cool outfits. Yeah. And like
they like to
straight
wear glitter
men
too.
Love watching fucking lesbian porn. Like
they
every
do.
Time a man watches lesbian porn, he should have to like
he should definitely
donate,
pay
like 10% of his paycheck to a lesbian.
That's a very yeah, I'll add that to the agenda. That goes straight to the top.
What's your third one?
You just gave me the third one.
Shit, okay. What's your like dream queer bar?
It'd be big, but really cozy with lots of different kinds of areas, with different vibes in each area. Maybe like a really kind of cozy area, loads of big cushions and quite like room-like. Maybe like a fun little dance floor. Maybe a space you could go specifically to, if you'd gone there by yourself and you wanted to meet new people, but that was kind of safe.
A mingling area.
Yeah, like a mingling area. So you didn't feel like a weirdo for going on your own. An area where you could get some nice food. A book area, obviously.
Yes.
A DJ area, like a DJ decks area, which maybe had like was open to different people. Maybe some hammocks, because you know, hammocks are always fun.
I like can't get in a hammock. I'm too like limb orientated. Like I'm just like flailing.
maybe you need a hammock with lots of padded,
like, yeah,
sort of trampoline bouncy things underneath it.
Yeah. Nice.
Maybe a jacuzzi as well, because, you know, why not?
Yeah. And we'd have to get very thoroughly cleaned.
Yeah. This would be a very large area, by the way.
I'm imagining, like, IKEA, but it's, like, split off into,
nothing like IKEA. IKEA's, like, a straight house.
I love IKEA.
It's, like, full of, like, sad families. I just hate it.
Really? Yeah. Oh, my God. IKEA hater.
I think I've normally gone on sort of like a Sunday afternoon. It's a bit stressful and busy. And
basically, if you go on the weekend, it's really bad. But I think if you go on a non-busy day, it's fun.
I'm not fully committed enough to go. But I shall bear it in mind. When I'm scouting for venues for my dream queer bar, I'll bear it in mind.
My dream would be like old-fashioned theatres that have like bars that are like wooden and they have like the red curtain behind.
Oh, yeah.
I want, like, a circular bar in the middle of the room that's, like, really fancy. And it has all the, like, glasses hanging down. Oh, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And everything would be, like, red velvet boots. And the bathroom would have to be, like, beautiful. Like, black and white tile floor. Really big mirrors.
That sounds great,
maybe,
yeah.
Like, a disco ball in there. Yeah.
The toilet cubes would be even worse than usual.
Disco no, ball it in would there. Have, like, 50 cubicles.
Not, like, the usual one.
Yeah, queuing for the bathroom is like, I wonder how much of my life has been taken up doing that. It's quite good because like in Copenhagen all the toilets are like gender neutral, so you can
do they have enough of them? That's good.
And they're not gross because Copenhagen's like clean. Have you ever been there?
No, but it sounds kind of like a paradise.
It's like what England should be like. Like the weather's a little bit nicer, there's like beautiful green and like water everywhere, and you can just cycle everywhere without getting run over.
That sounds great.
It's so expensive. Like, if you want a beer, it's like £10.
Yeah, but then I guess if you're living there and you're earning good Copenhagen money.
Do you have anything to add to your bisexual agenda that I made you like make up on the spot?
I add to my bisexual agenda that Tories should all be exiled immediately.
Yep.
Maybe.
Not to Australia. That
no,
didn't
I was
out.
Thinking maybe out of the planet, but
they'd like, love that. All they want to do is live on Mars and live in.
They
there,
could just
like,
be sent into a spaceship and
exploded.
Yeah, we'd have to ever know what happened.